Morning. Today's daf in Tzvachim is daf Pei. We are in Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We are just one sugya away from getting up to the next Mishnah. We are starting in the middle of the Amud on Ayin Tes Amud Beis with the words Nesarv B'dam Psul Mishafech La'ama. That if it goes and gets mixed up with dam, which is pasul, so then it is to be discarded. If you look back at the Mishnah, so the Mishnah gives us a number of scenarios of blood getting mixed together. So we spent already a considerable amount of time talking about blood getting mixed up with water, blood getting mixed up with other bloods, blood of an animal, blood of a chaya. And then the Mishnah, if you take a look on the very top of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, the Mishnah then talked about blood getting up mixed up with dam of pasul. In other words, Rashi over there on the Mishnah told us that the blood of a pasul carbon could be any one of a number of examples. Rashi, rov of an irva, an animal involved in bestiality. Nishcha chutzos vana chutzim kama, an animal involved in pigle. So in other words, so if the blood gets mixed up with these bloods, so yishafech la'ama. So the Mishnah says that it's to be poured, it's to be discarded. You cannot use it. And then if it gets mixed up with damatamtzit, so yishafech la'ama, that also is to be discarded. And on that point, Rabbi Elazar disagrees. And Rabbi Elazar machshir. Rabbi Elazar says that under those circumstances, you're allowed to sprinkle it. Imlo nimlach v'nasin kasher. And then the Mishnah points out that without consultation, if you sprinkle onto the mizbech, so it would be kasher. Okay, so that a quick reminder of what we learned back in the Mishnah. And it's Darv B'dama Psul Mishafech Lama B'maikim Miflagi. The Gemara now wants to know, what is the subject of the debate over here? So between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. So B'maikim Miflagi, Amar Zvid, B'gozim Gzera B'mikdash Kamiflagi. The Gemara over here suggests that what is subject is the Machlokas as to whether or not you make a Gzera in the Beis HaMikdash. Marsar V'lo Gozim, the Gemara says that that is subject to the Machlokas. Now, in general, we've discussed this already a number of times, that Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, there is no Isuri D'Rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash. And yet, there are a number of Gemaras that seem to counter that very point. Here's a good example of a Gemara that simply says that, point blank, the Gemara says it point blank. It couldn't be clearer. The Gemara over here says that, according to one opinion, there is a Gzera that is enacted in the Beis HaMikdash. So, what we have to say, and we say this every time, is that even though the general rule of Ein Shavus B'Mikdash, there's no Isuri D'Rabbanan in the Mikdash, that's a general rule, meaning that's a general trend, that one does not make Isuri D'Rabbanan in the Mikdash. The Chachamim generally don't make Zeres in the Mikdash. It has to do with the fact that Kohanim themselves are Zerizim, they are careful, they're quick, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's always the case, and here's just a wonderful example. Okay, and what exactly is a Gzera over here? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here, because in Gzera B'Mikdash Pligi, im osin siyag b'kachim laharchik min avera. Okay, so Rashi over here simply points out that the Gzera D'Rabbanan. What is the Gzera D'Rabbanan? Take a look in the next Rashis. So that means to say that according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim of our Mishnah, if blood gets mixed up with either the Dam of Pasul or Dam Tamtzis, and if you think about it, as we've already discussed over the last couple of days, is there bittul? The answer is yeah, there's bittul. Meaning this is a tyrovus of min bimino. These are like substances getting mixed together. In order for bittul to happen, all I need is a simple majority, let's assume we have over here. So I have more kosher blood than I have either dam tamtzis or dam pasul. And yeah, yishafek lama. And yet we're going to discard the blood. Why? Gzera dilma asil achshur nami hechdi yish b'dam pasul b'dam tamtzis k'delevatos a kosher. And the answer is very simple. Because of gzera. In other words, the decree is that the bittul is only when I have a majority of the kosher blood over the non-kosher blood. But in the event that I have, let's say, the ratios get flipped, the proportions get flipped. In other words, instead of having 51% kosher blood, I have 51% non-kosher blood. So then I can't do it. So because of that, just that small difference between them. So according to the Chachamim, gzera, and the gzera is discard. Discarded. So Rashi says, I bet you're wondering. In other words, if you look back at the Mishnah, which we did in the beginning of this morning, and you look at other cases in the Mishnah, blood gets mixed up with blood of a non-sanctified animal, or blood gets mixed up with the blood of a chaya. So over there, there was no gzera. So Rashi says, Mishim techulim bazar lo shchichi. Those are cases which are just simply infrequent. So in other words, generally speaking, the Chachamim only make a gzera on cases which are more frequent. Aval bepsul shchichi. But when you have a carbon which is pasul, so that is more frequent. V'chein tamtzis shchiach. The rabbi la nefesh and dam tamsis, that's very frequent, as we already described. Every time you shechten an animal, so the first rush of blood coming out is the dam nefesh, but then the trickling blood that comes out after that is dam tamsis. So every time you shechten, you're going to have dam nefesh, dam tamsis. So that's something which is frequent. So that is all an explanation of the opinion of the Chachamim. So the Chachamim say we're going to make a gzerah. Continuing in Rashi, Rabbi Eliezer Savrein goes and Chashu Chachamim Shalafsi Kashim Achmas gzerah. And Rabbi Eliezer says don't make a gzerah, because in the event that you're making a gzerah, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to be having a loss of kachim. Hilka Chachi Eim and Apsul Kadesha Ilu Hayumaim Lo Hayaniker Dama Kasher Bo Machsherina Leilizrika. And as long as you don't have, as long as there is enough blood that could discolor any solution, even if we swapped out the non-kosher blood or the disqualified blood with water, which is what we described in the last couple of days. So as long as there is enough blood to create discoloration, so to create a red hue, so then you're going to be able to use it. Okay, so good. So in other words, so what we have right now in the Gemara's explanation of the machlok between Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer is that according to the Tanakama, a gzera is to be made. According to Rabbi Eliezer, no gzera. Rav Papa Amar, back to the Gemara. So now we're going to go over another approach. Rav Papa Amar, Dekulei Amar Gozrin. Now, everyone's of the opinion that really a gzera is in order. And over here, it's just now a question of frequency, rate. In other words, according to the Chachamim, they believe that the rate is very high. And therefore, since the rate is very high, that there's going to be more Dam Tamsis than there is, or a good amount of Dam Tamsis over that of Dam Nefesh, so therefore it's appropriate to make a gzera. Whereas according to Rabbi Eliezer, the frequency of the rate is not that high, and therefore it's not appropriate to make a gzera. Now, Bishlam l'Rav Papa Hainu Diktani Nesar B'dama Psul Mishafech Lama B'dama Tamsis Yishafech Lama. So according to Rav Papa now, so it's really good that the Mishnah gave this to us as two different presentations. Meaning the Mishnah gave us the Machlokas regarding Nesar B'dama Psul, and the Mishnah gave us Nesar B'dama Tamsis. Because according to Rav Papa, the only debate between the two is only regarding Dama Tamsis. So it's very good that the Mishnah broke them up. But Ella Rav Zvid La Arvina V'Lisninu. But according to Rav Zvid, and the machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer is on both cases, both on the case on the Dam Tamsis and on the case on the Dam Pasul. And so, why doesn't the Mishnah consolidate and let the Mishnah just simply put the two of them together and just simply say, and Rabbi Eliezer would say this, and the Chachamim would say this, and why doesn't the Mishnah consolidate? Kasha, the Gemara says that's a good question, and we move on. Okay, we are now up to a really classic Mishnah that comes up in the 8th parak of Zvachim, Mishnah that you probably heard referenced once or twice before, the Yisurim of Baal Tigra and Baal Tosif, which we're all familiar with. That's coming up a little bit later in the Mishnah, gives a little bit of more popularity to this Mishnah. But the first part of the Mishnah, which is not as popular, Dam Tamim and Bedam Bali Mumim. So if I have the blood of a carbon which is tamim, it's a non-blemished animal, meaning it's qualified, gets mixed in with the blood of a balmum, a blemished animal, so yishafech lama. So that blood now, that mixture, that tarovis is to be discarded, cannot be used. If you take a look at Rashi, so this is wonderfully falling off the heels of the Gemara that we just did together. So first Rashi in the Mishnah points out, milsa d'shchichahi. So in other words, so let's gauge it based on what we learned just a moment ago. Meaning, let's assume now that we have more kosher blood than we have non-kosher blood. So that should mean that it's okay. In other words, we have bittul, like we've been discussing up until now. So why is it that the Mishnah says over here it's to be discarded? And you'll also notice in the Mishnah, there's no debate on the matter. So Rashi, the very first Rashi, writes most of the shchichahi, because it's something which is frequent. V'yishboch la'ama gzera shema lo yirbo alav yachshiruhu. Because since this is something that happens with a certain amount of frequency, so therefore it's a gzera. Again, another wonderful example where there is a gzera. Dam tamim b'dam b'alimum yishafek la'ama. Back to the Mishnah. Kos b'kosos. Now let's say cups get mixed together. So in other words, I have a number of cups in the of blood in the Beis HaMikdash, and they get mixed together. Rabbi Eliezer Omer im kraur of kos echad yikruvu kol ha-kosos. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, look, one of the cups is blood of a disqualified carbon. The other cups are all cups of qualified carbon. So again, what do we know? We know that there's a rule of bittul, meaning the majority of them are kosher. One of them is pasul. Fine. So really there's bittul. But, in other words, this is the base of Mikdash, and these are cups, and it's significant, so we block bittul. However, if one of the cups has already been spilled, or already been poured, so what Rabbi Eliezer does is he allows for the pouring of the rest. And this is a concept that we've also seen earlier in this parak, and this is the idea of taliyah. Of what we're allowed to say, what we're entitled to say, is that since one of the cups has been poured, and there is a chance, albeit it's a small chance, but there is a chance that that cup that's poured was the cup of the disqualified blood. So therefore, the other cups we can go ahead and pour. Now, as we already pointed out, the chances of that the one cup that was already poured being that of the disqualified blood is really small. But keep in mind, as we already pointed out, bittul has really already occurred. So the truth of the matter is that we're already operating on a rabbinic level. Since we're already operating on a rabbinic level, so we allow ourselves for certain leniencies like this example over here. That is all the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim said, like they said earlier in this parak, no. Meaning, once a Chachamim block bittul does not, we don't regard bittul. And so as if I have one disqualified cup of blood gets mixed up with all the other cups of blood, and even if, let's say, some Kohen without consultation used all the cups with exception to one, that last cup over there is to be discarded. In other words, according to the Chachamim, once bittul's blocked, that's it. In other words, there's no bittul, and every one of the cups should be discarded. The Mishnah continues now with other cases. Let's say the blood of a carbon that's sprinkled on the top gets mixed up with the blood that's sprinkled on the bottom. Now here we're talking about animals, so let's reorient ourselves. In the 6th and 7th parak, we were talking about birds, but now we're talking about animals, so let's remind one another. The blood of a carbon chatos is lamala mechot asikra. The blood of all other carbonos are lamata mechot asikra. So over here, I have the blood of a carbon chatos that gets mixed up with the blood of any other carbon. So that's the mission of Itan Lamatash in the Sarva Mitan Lamala, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yitan Lamala. So Rabbi Eliezer says the solution is very simple. Take the blood and start by sprinkling on the top. Now, again, I have a blood which is a composite of blood that should be sprinkled on the top and blood that's sprinkled on the bottom. So for Rabbi Eliezer, no problem whatsoever. Because remember, what does Rabbi Eliezer allow us to do? Where's his latitude? In that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you just simply have a lack of kavana. You say, look, I know that there's blood over here that belongs on the bottom. If any of that blood happens to hit the top of the Mizbeach, I view it as water. In other words, right, like we said earlier in this parak, in other words, sometimes if I have something that shouldn't go on the top of the Mizbeach, but if I'm not putting it up as Lerech Nichoch, but if I'm putting it up just simply as fuel, that's fine. Same thing with blood. So the blood that shouldn't go on the top of the Mizbeach and happens to be hitting the top, it's like Mayim.
Why wouldn't the Shmuel's principle that any application of any river is good?
Ah, very good. Tosfos asked your question. Okay, that's very good. Can I point you in the right direction? Stop me after Shir. I'll point you in the right direction.
But what about the owner's carbon? If it was supposed to go
home. All right, so in other words, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not, again, it's not going to be a problem. So the blood, so in other words, this mixture, so you do it lamala. And as far as any of the blood that is hitting the top of the Mizbeach, and it should belong below, so it's just simply viewed as water, which according to Rabbi Eliezer is a perfectly acceptable maneuver. And then afterwards, you take the rest of the blood and you sprinkle it below. And as far as having a kavana over here, you don't really need a kavana over here. Take a look at Rashi. A couple of Rashis over here I want to highlight. Rashi atachtonim lamala, ra'ani osam kilo hein mayim. Rashi's just reiterating what we learned back in the Mishnah. Rashi umimnesha mitzvah lahaktim al yonal tachtonim kedamar peper kol atadir. Rashi over here just wonders, is the Mishnah being specific? When I have this mixture of blood, where some of it belongs above and some of it belongs below, was the Mishnah specific about the order? Rashi says, yeah, sure. In other words, first do the ones on top, then the ones below. This is based on a Gemara that we're going to be learning later in the Masechta. We'll see it about a week from now. Chatas has priority over an ola, so therefore that's why you do the one above that over the one below. And then, now, v'yitin lamala, look at the next Rashi. V'tchila v'acharkach lamata, unesina mata, tala lo, l'shvicha shereim shel chatas. So Rashi over here wonders, why isn't Rabbi Eliezer using the Kavana maneuver for below? So Rashi over here says, because there's no need. Because when I'm taking now this mixture of blood and sprinkling it below, so vis-a-vis the chatos blood, we'll just simply count that Torah Shirayim. Good, because we're lamata, mechotas sikra. Vis-a-vis the ola blood, we're exactly where we need to be. So there doesn't need to be any kind of extra kavana or anti-kavana, because everything is good with the blood that I sprinkle below. Good. Continuing in the Mishnah. Now the Chachamim are of the opinion this blood is to be discarded. The Chachamim don't subscribe to this principle of Rabbi Eliezer that you could just simply view blood, unnecessary blood, and just simply say we're going to treat it like water. They don't believe in such a maneuver, and so therefore I have bloods that are disqualified. And therefore Yishafik Lama, therefore it's to be discarded. The Mishnah says that if the Kohen does not consult, and the Kohen just sprinkles the blood without consultation, so b'di'evid, it would in fact be kosher. Okay. Top of Pei Amud Aleph. Continuing in the Mishnah. Blood of one carbon that only needs one application that gets mixed up with blood of another carbon that also only needs one application. So, like we learned in the fifth parak of Zvachim, right? That is the parak that tells us all procedures of all karbanos. So Bechor and Meiser Behema are two examples of two karbanos. There's one more, by the way, Karban Pesach. So Bechor and Meiser are examples of two karbanos where it only needs one application of the Mizbeach. And let's say the Kohen, for whatever reason, was shechted side by side, and the Kohen mixed up the two bloods together. So over here, very simple. Yinatnu mematana achas. So you just simply take the mixture, we give one application on the Mizbeach, and you are good. What about the shear? In other words, there's no shear for Zrika, but the I thought you were going to ask, right? I thought that right. In other words, right? Shouldn't you do it twice? And the Mishnah clearly says no. The Mishnah clearly says one time is enough. I'd have to think a little bit more in terms of why not do it twice? But anyway. In other words, that you don't need to. In other words, because let's assume that whatever blood you have over there, you sprinkle the entirety on the mizbeach. So you got both. In other words, you hit both and you hit it on the appropriate place on the mizbeach. So you're fine. Here's where it gets fun. Matan arba, mamatan arba, not yet. Matan arba, mamatan arba, yinatnu mamatan arba. So if let's say the blood of a carbon that requires four gets mixed up with the blood of a carbon that requires four. Now four over here, says Rashi, doesn't necessarily mean a chatas. Meaning, we could here be talking about an ola and a shlamim. You have to hit four sides with the ola and the shlamim. Like again, just going back to what we learned back in the fifth parak of the Masechta. Meaning, for an ola and a shlamim, you hit the two opposite corners, and in doing so, you're hitting the four sides of the mizbeach. So Rashi says that's what we could be talking about over here, and that's fine. Meaning, so if let's say the blood of an ola gets mixed in with the blood of a shlamim, they both have this requirement of shtaim shein arba, so fine. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to the two opposite sides. You're going to take the blood of the mixed blood, and you'll sprinkle on the two opposite sides, and that would be fine. Okay. And now here's where it gets fun. Matan arba b'matan achas. But let's say now I have the blood of a karban that requires four, and again four over here we could say two, which is four, and it gets mixed in with the blood of one. And so now what do I do? So now here I have bloods where, of this mixture, one of the bloods required to hit all four sides, or two opposite corners, and one of them only requires one application to the mizbeach. So what do I do over here? So if I do one application, so that's one less than what I need for one of the karbanas. If I two, so that's one more than I need for one of the karbanas. So, to borrow a phrase, is less more? Or is more less? So over here, the Mishnah brings down a classic debate on this issue. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Nasnu b'matan arba. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I'm sorry, yinasnu b'matan arba. So Rabbi Eliezer says, do more. Do more, meaning do the maximum, do four. And again, by four, we mean do the two opposite sides, to hitting all four walls. So, and Rabbi Yoshua Amar, yinasnu b'matan achas. And Rabbi Yoshua says, no, be conservative, lowercase c. Be conservative. Do one application. So now here comes the sparring. So Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua now are debating on this very question of, when I have a mixture of bloods where one requires more and one requires less, so what is it better to do? Better to do more or better to do less? So I'm a Rabbi Eliezer, harehu over al baltigra. So Rabbi Eliezer now points his finger at Rabbi Yeshua and says, you know, the you aren't going to be in violation of Bal Tigra. Torah says that you're not allowed to add and you're not allowed to subtract. In other words, if there is a mitzvah in the Torah, so you have to do the quantity that the Torah wants you to do. And if you do any more, any less, so you're going to be in violation of Bal Tigra and Bal Tosif. So let's take a look at the Dalad Minim of a Lulav. It's the best example. Tzitzis, as we learned just recently, you may be able to put more than four corners on your Beged. So I was thinking about Tzitzis, but it's not the best example. Dalad Minim are a really good example. So Dalad Minim, so you can't use 5 Minim and you can't use 3. If you use 5 Minim, so that's Baal Tosif. If you have 3 Minim, that's Baal Tigra. So over here, I have a mixture of blood. So Rabbi Eliezer points his finger at Rabbi Yeshua and says, you, Rabbi Yeshua, are now in violation of Baal Tigra. Meaning that you, Rabbi Yeshua, say, give one application, but by giving one application, so that's one less than the Ola or Shlum in blood that's mixed in here together, and so therefore you're in violation of Baal Tigra. But you know, the counter-argument is just as simple. Amarle Rabbi Yeshua, harehu avra Baal Tosif. So Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Eliezer, okay, you, my friend, are in violation of Baal Tosif. Meaning, okay, but remember now that one of the bloods that's mixed in is a Bechor, a Miser, which only has one application. And now you're doing 2 applications. So you're in violation of Baal Tosif. So Amarle Rabbi Eliezer, lo nemar Baal Tosif, elokushu ba'atmo. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, I'm of the belief that Baal Tosif is only when it's an independent item. Meaning, if I only had the blood of a Bechor or a Miser Behema, and then I did 2 applications, then I'm in violation of Baal Tosif. But over here, it's Ta'arovis. It's a mixture. And so therefore, Baal Tosif doesn't exist in such a scenario. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, lo nemar Baal Tigra, ela Keshua Ba'atzmo. And Rabbi Yeshua says, well, I think the same thing. In other words, I think that Baal Tigra is only a issue when it's independent. If I have the Shlamim or the Ola blood by itself, and I only do 1 and not 2, that's Baal Tigra. But in other words, if I have a Tarovis like we have over here, then it's not an issue. So the truth of the matter is at this juncture, so really the truth, it seems to be a push between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning the sparring right now is basically almost like a mirror image of one another. Rabbi Yeshua says, you know, you're in violation of Baal Tigra, and I'm sorry, you're in violation of Baal Tosif, and Rabbi Eliezer says, well, you're in violation of Baal Tigra, and both of them then each exchange, well, it's a Tarovis, so therefore it doesn't count over here. So right now, in terms of the arguments, you could say, push. V'od amar Rav Yehoshua. But here now we have an argument with no counter-argument. V'od amar Rav Yehoshua. Kishanasata avarta al Baal Tosif, asisa masa biyadecha. Kishalo nasata avarta al Baal Tigra, v'lo asisa masa biyadecha. You see, over here, yes, there's Baal Tigra and Baal Tosif, meaning you're going to lose on either end. But let's consider, if you're violating Baal Tosif, so not only are you violating Baal Tosif, but you're doing so with an action. If you're violating Baal Tigra, so yes, you're violating Baal Tigra, but through an inaction. And in the weight of Averos, worse to do an Avera with an action rather than to do an Avera with an inaction. Rashi writes. Wait, just 1 second. Rashi writes, V'lo asisa masa biyadecha. V'ein adome. Rashi says you can't compare osa masa Liyoshev Eina Ose, the Isser Ba Me'elav. So in other words, the Isser Baal Tosif is a greater Isser because by definition, Baal Tosif requires you to do more. But in other words, that's an action on your part. Now Baal Tigra is an Isser also, but it's an Isser through inaction. So Rabbi Yeshua says, I therefore favor Baal Tigra over Baal Tosif because Baal Tigra only results through inaction, which is not as offensive as Baal Tosif with an action. Yeah, Ben? It's
omission versus commission.
Yes, correct. Correct.
When we had the whole concept of Pigo, we said that even with Kata, if you do one Zerisa, you've covered all the basic.
Yes, yes.
Why wouldn't that apply here?
Correct. Meaning, point very well taken. Let me just reiterate. Ben is pointing out that we've learned earlier in the Masechta that really, even for those that have a requirement of an application of 4, like an Ola and a Shlamim, so if you hit the Mizbech and you hit only one time, so B'dievah, you're Yotze. So that's, but, it's even if I only hit one side of the Mizbech, so then, right, by the Chatos, there's a 4 requirement, and that's Li'ikuva. But in other words, No, that's also not true. I'm sorry. Even by the Chatos. Even by the Chatos. Right, correct. That's correct. So one's enough. So over here...
Where do you apply, though?
No. But Ben's right. In other words, one's enough. We learned that earlier in the Masechta. So over here, that's all true. But in other words, but the consideration and the debate between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer is what's the best procedure going forward. Meaning, lichas chila, everyone agrees the ola has to be done. Shtaim Shem Dalid, and the same thing is true regarding an ola. It's true regarding a shlamim. So in other words, what they're looking at is going forward, what is the best operating procedure? Okay. So seemingly in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua really seems to have gotten the last word, meaning that it is better to violate Baal Tigra through inaction than to violate Baal Tosef with an action.
What's Baal Tigra if it's not Nakir?
It's in other words, you're violating Baal Tigra, but as Ben correctly points out, but it's not ma'akev, meaning the carbon's still going to be a good carbon. Lichat chil, obviously you should have done two, but you didn't do two, and you violated Baal Tigra. But okay, you violated Baal Tigra, but the carbon itself is still good.
Get a checkmark.
Yeah, okay. Amar Rebbe Lazar. Okay, here's a point that we've seen already two times. This is now the third time we get to hear this point. And that is the following, that we had in the Mishnah, going back to the beginning of the Mishnah, if one of the cups were to be offered without any consultation, so the rest of the cups can be brought. And this was Rabbi Eliezer in the back of the Mishnah, and this is not the first time we've heard this idea of Rabbi Eliezer, that if one was offered, you can offer the rest, and this is the concept of Taliyah. And this comment of Rav Elazar, not to be confused, this is the Amora Rabbi Elazar, commenting on the Tana Rebbe Eliezer. I'm Rebbe Lazar, lo ichshu Rebbe Lazar, lo shlem shnayim, only two by two, meaning that when you bring the cups to the Mizbeach, you bring them two by two. Aval echa echad lo, but not one by one. And Rashi already said this two times. Rashi over here does not repeat himself. Rashi already said it twice earlier in the parak. So Rashi says, what he gained by two? Because I gained by two, bring it two by two, because I know that when I bring it two by two, first of all, one of them already may have been, the one disqualifying one may have been offered. And even if that's not true, but when I bring it two by two, one of the two for sure is okay. So again, it's an extra level of security regarding this concept of Taliyah. And here the classic question, I say classic because this is now the third time we're hearing this question. When I read the Mishnah, I don't get the sense that you bring it up two by two. Look at the Chachamim's response to Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say, even if I have one left, what do you mean one left? You're bringing it up two by two. So it's funny. I thought earlier, and I'll say it now, that well, maybe there's an odd number. But you don't even have to say that. So Amalei Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Tachlifa, az bracha, my echad, zug echad. So the Gemara says what the Gemara said earlier. Echad over here just means one pair. But in other words, the echad could just simply be referring to a zug. Now, you're probably wondering, this statement to Rabbi Eliezer that you can rely on this principle of Taliyah, it's not the first time in this parak we're hearing this. We heard it already regarding limbs. Limbs of karbanos that got mixed together. Where I had one disqualified limb gets mixed up with another number of limbs, Rabbi Eliezer, true to form, says that if one of them is already offered, so I can bring the rest, again, according to Rabbi Lazar, two at a time. We've heard this already from Rabbi Eliezer. Why do I need it by limbs? Why do I need it by blood? Utsricha. You see, when it comes to the limbs, so over there by limbs, so there's a lot of room to be lenient. Because if we're talking about offering the limbs on the top of the Mizbeach, that means the blood has already been successfully applied to the Mizbeach. This is not for the purposes of Kapara. This is just simply concluding the Avoda. But Kapara has already been achieved. But over here we're talking about sprinkling the blood. Sprinkling the blood, that's kapara. So I might have thought that Rabbi Eliezer would be strict like the Chachamim. The Eid Mar Baha, and if I only had the case regarding the cups, Baha Kam Rabbanan. So maybe by the case of the cups, the Chachamim are going to be Machmir. But in the case of the limbs, Ema Modil the Rabbi Eliezer. But I might think that they would be lenient like Rabbi Eliezer in the case of the limbs, because as we just pointed out, by the limbs, there's room to be more lenient because that's not kapara. That's just simply concluding the avoda. So therefore, tzricha, therefore, they're both necessary. Tanan hasam. Let us learn another Mishnah in Masechta Parah. The Mishnah Parah says, Sluchi shenafel esocho maim kol dehu. Okay, what happens when I have a cup? The cup is already filled with mei chatas hamikudashim. Right? Ash is a paraduma mixed together with maim chaim. Recently, we talked about what happens when I try to tovel it in the mikvah. And even though the Maim Chaim with Paraduma ashes mixed in is water, effectively, but nevertheless we learned that it's not water. It's water, but it's not water. Okay, that's what we discussed a couple days ago. Now what the Gemara is discussing is the following. Let's say I have Mayim Chaim mixed together with Paraduma, and a little bit of water falls in. Big deal or not a big deal? Rabbi Elazar Omer Yazesh Tehazos. So according to Rabbi Elazar, it's not the end of the world. But here's what you're going to need to do. When you sprinkle it on somebody, you got to do it twice. Stay tuned. We're going to explain why. The Chachamim Poslim and the Chachamim say, no, the water altogether is disqualified. Any amount, this is going to sound really harsh. Any amount of water that gets mixed in with the Para Aduma mixture, with the Para Aduma solution, is going to disqualify the Para Aduma solution. Okay. That's obviously a... That's a lot. Now, Bishlam, Rabbanan Sarvi Yesh Bilav HaHazal Tzricha Shir Ve'emet Starfen LaHazos. So the Gemara says, now, according to the Chachamim, I actually get it. The Gemara says, I can easily explain the Chachamim. And so what we're going to get to is as follows. We're going to start now, and we'll get through a good amount of it, but we're not going to, really, the whole discussion ends in tomorrow's daf. But we're going to start now the following discussion. When I have a solution, right, any two liquids getting mixed together, so do we assume an even distribution, do we not assume an even distribution? So if I put it in a blender and I turn the blender on, so I think we can all assume that, yeah, there's going to be an even distribution. But in other words, but when one liquid comes into another liquid, so do we assume now that the solution is now evenly distributed? Now, I know and you know that with a little bit of agitation and a little stirring, we certainly have a better shot at even distribution. But I'm assuming right now that the Gemara is talking about even without any agitation, even without any mixing, do we assume that there is a even distribution? You're going to hear the Gemara keep repeating the words, yesh bila or ein bila. And over here in this context, this is exactly what we are discussing. Whether we can assume for an even distribution or not. Now, I have a tradition in terms of learning that it's best not to explain any machlokas based on mitzvios, based on certain given realities. Meaning, reality is a given, and it's just a question of how to explain the debate conceptually. Over here, I'm a little bit stuck. Meaning, it seems like the debate over here, as the Gemara is now about to present it, is a reality question of whether or not there is or there isn't an even distribution. That's what it seems in the Gemara. It goes against my training, but that's the way it seems. So the Gemara says, so according to the Chachamim, I actually get it. All I need to do is find my spot, and I'm in great shape. Here we go. Bishlam Rabban Safi Yesh Bila Vahaza, I'm sorry, Yesh Bila. So the Gemara says here, according to the Chachamim, here's what happens, or what happened. A little bit of water gets mixed up with the Para Aduma solution. And now we're going to assume that there is an even distribution. So that water now is evenly distributed throughout the entire solution, throughout the entire Para Aduma solution. Vahazah Tzricha Shir. When you sprinkle, so there is a requisite amount that needs to be sprinkled. And so therefore, every time you're sprinkling, you're not going to get to the requisite amount, because there's going to be a small amount of water mixed in with every sprinkling. All right, so why not just sprinkle twice? Ein mitzdarfen lahazos. Because two times does not equal one plus one. In other words, in order to effectively sprinkle, it has to be a one-shot deal, and that's it. And that one-shot deal has to contain only and exclusively Para Aduma solution. Okay, that's all according to the sheet of the Chachamim. Good. Ella le Rabbi Eliezer, but according to Rabbi Eliezer, so he says, do it twice. Now here the Gemara says, do it twice. No matter how we apply the variables that we just learned together, I don't understand Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says, let's see. My kasavar, I kasavar ein bila. So let's say that he holds that there is no even distribution. So that means that within now the mixture of water and paraduma solution, so some of the water is concentrated in one area, the paraduma is concentrated in another area. Of course, we don't know. So if we assume ein bila, ki mazeh shteazos mayhave, dimatarvayim may kamazeh. So the Gemara says, well, if I do it twice, it may be a little bit better than doing it once, but still, ultimately, what I may end up is sprinkling water twice, because he holds of the opinion that ain bila, there's no even distribution. And so when I take my hyssop stems and I put it into the water, I may be hitting just water. And Ella kasa, Elikasavar Yesh Bila. So the Gemara says, and if you're in the fear of the opinion that there is an even distribution, Ikasavar Einazat Zricha Shir, so Lam Lishtei Azos. Now, if he's of the opinion that there's no Shir, which means that it doesn't have to be that you have to hit with a full amount of whatever the heads of the hyssop can hold in terms of sprinkling, there's no Shir, so then you only need to do it once. I don't need to do it twice. Elikasavar Azos Zricha Shir. So the Gemara says, okay, so obviously he must hold that there's a shear. And if you're of the opinion that they don't combine with one another, so the Gemara says, okay, so by doing it twice, you haven't gained. So the Gemara says, and even if they do combine, mi yemer damale le shira, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to get to the requisite shear. So the Gemara now is just basically at an impasse in terms of the Chachamim I get, because we could put the variables together in order to arrive at an understanding of the Chachamim. Again, according to the Chachamim are of the opinion that there is an even distribution. There is a shear required, which means that with that one sprinkling, that full head of the hyssops have to be made up exclusively of mepara and with nothing else. And two times don't add up to one shear. That's all according to the Chachamim, but according to Rabbi Elazar, who says do it twice, how do we arrive at that conclusion of doing it twice?
Where is Rabbi Yehuda in this discussion to say,
okay, it's a fair question. I don't know. The Gemara now is going to offer three possibilities in terms of understanding Rabbi Eliezer. So right now, let's introduce ourselves to those three possibilities, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. Amar Reish Lakish L'Olam Yesh Bila. So Reish Lakish of the opinion, here's how we're going to understand Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, variable number one, there is an even distribution. V'hazah tzricha shir. And the hazah does in fact require a shir. V'hachah b'mayiskin and kagon, shinis arvu achas b'achas. In terms of what was the ratio of how much water fell in? Now, if you look back at the Mishnah kind of gives us the impression that it was just a small amount of water that fell in. Right? I'm reading the Mishnah once again. Sluchish nafal esocha mayim kol duhu, or kol shehu. So it does sound that way. But in explaining Rabbi Eliezer, Reish Lakish says that really the amount that got mixed together was one part water to one part paraduma water. And so now, and we're going to assume an even distribution. And there's a shear requirement. So in other words, so do it twice. Because now that you're doing it twice, one more variable. And with Starfin, and we say that they do in fact combine. So now when I do it twice, so assuming, in other words, but all this you have to start with an assumption, which Reish Lakish articulates, that it's a one-to-one ratio, so good. So in other words, so the first sprinkling I have 50% of it was paraduma. Second time I did it 50% of it was paraduma, and the mitzarif, and that is approach number one. That's Reish Lakish. Approach number two. Rav Amar Lolam Yesh Bila. V'haza ain't tzricha shir. So Rav is of the opinion that really there isn't even distribution. And we're gonna start off with also another contention, which is that there is no shear amount. As long as you get a trace amount of paraduma sprinkled on the person, so that is that's a successful sprinkling. So then you gotta wonder, one time would be sufficient. Why do I have to do it twice? Ukenasa de kansura banakeheka de lo mishtarishlei. And as far as why doing it twice? Knas. In other words, it's a fine. What's a fine over here? Very, really good. Rashi explains. I'm saying Rashi outside. Rashi explains. Because over here, just think about it. Meaning, if there is no shear, and I just need any amount of para aduma solution to go on the person, so every time I have para aduma water, so why don't we just simply dilute it? In other words, we'll assume an even distribution. And so we'll just simply dilute it, and correct, and it'll last forever. So okay. So the Chachamim don't want us to do that. So in the event that any water comes in, so even though there's no shear, I could sprinkle it once and it would work, and we assume an even distribution. So even though all that's true, but the Chachamim would said, you know what? We don't want the person to benefit. So therefore, sprinkle a second time. Which also makes you wonder, for that second sprinkling, which is a kanas, should sprinkle it on the person? Maybe just sprinkle it somewhere else. Okay, anyway. Rav Ashi Amar, and Rav Ashi, the third suggestion of the Gemara, in terms of explaining Rabbi Eliezer's Ein Bila. Ein Bila, that there is no even distribution, and Yazeh Shtei Hazals. And what you're going to be doing now is you're going to be sprinkling two times. How do you understand? I'm sorry, and let me just read a little bit more. Yazeh Shtei Hazals, and you sprinkle it two times. And as far as understanding Rav Ashi, take a look at the bottom Rashi, not the bottom, towards the bottom, and Rashi writes, "V'shtei hazos l'Rabbi Eliezer." Right, I'm in the beginning of the line. It's about six lines before the bottom of the Amud. Mishum de kasav ein bila hilkach ima dechada shem einkan me min haksherim klum. If I sprinkle only once, remember, now we're assuming that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's not evenly distributed. So the first time I sprinkle, it may be exclusively water. Avaki ma de tarte, but once I do it a second time, yeshu deleka bechad minau min aksherim, daha ein kam napsum ela kolshehu. The way Rav Ashi understands the Mishnah in Parah, it only is talking about a case where just a little bit of water fell in. So the first sprinkling, I have to account that maybe I picked up all that water. But in other words, but it's impossible once I do a second sprinkling that there won't be on the second sprinkling Parah Aduma solution. So that is now Reish Lakish, Rava, and Rav Ashi, three different approaches to understanding Rabbi Eliezer.
The premise is that there's no Bila.
The premise of Rav Ashi is that there's no Bila. Meisvei the Gemara challenges Rabbi Omer Ladiv, Rabbi Eliezer, Hazal, Kol Shehu, Mitaharis, Hazal, Ein Tzrich, Hashir, Hazal, Mechza, Kasha, Mechza, Pasol. The Bryce over here says that according to Rabbi, explaining Rabbi Eliezer, Hazal, any amount of Hazal would be Mitahir, Hazal does not require a Shir, Hazah, when you sprinkle mechza kasher, mechza pasal. Half is going to be kasher, half is going to be pasal. Meaning, what does that mean? Look at the bottom Rashi. V'lo tem hazah kol shehu hidak shira. Umi lo yeh ima tarovis psul, ela afila yesh ba tarovis psul machsher. Meaning, even within the sprinkling, if I have some of it being para aduma solution, some of it being just strictly water, it still would be okay. What do we gain over here? Strong question against Reish Lakish. Doesn't answer the Gemara. The Otanya, and on top of that, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Behejah, Nitan Lamala, Shinit Arvim, Nitan Lamata, Rabbi Eliezer, Yitin Lamala, Vachtachtonim Alulo. On top of that, let's go back to our Mishnah. What do we learn in our Mishnah? That when I have a mixture of that which should go above, that which should go below, so do the one above. The Iyamarte Bila. Now, if you assume that there is no even distribution on my Alulo, doesn't our Mishnah assume an even distribution? Because didn't you take the mixture and do one application above and then one application below? But if there is not an even distribution, the one application above may be totally non-regarded because that may be strictly the blood that should be below. So the Gemara is therefore arguing that Reish Lakish is very difficult because Reish Lakish is of the opinion that there is a shear according to Rabbi Eliezer. The brisa we quote on the bottom of the Amud does not support that. And it's also difficult for Rav Ashi, because Rav Ashi says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he assumes ein bila, that we don't assume an even distribution. And meanwhile, the Mishnah seems to clearly indicate that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there is an even distribution. So of the three opinions that we just quoted on the bottom of the Amud Aleph and explaining Rabbi Eliezer, the only one that seems to be a solid solution to explain Rabbi Eliezer is only Rava, the middle opinion. Because Reish Lakish is assuming there's a shear requirement. Bryce on the bottom says no. Rav Ashi says that there is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, we don't assume an even distribution. The Mishnah seems to indicate, no, we do assume an even distribution. So therefore, at this juncture, what do we have is a support for Rava's explanation of Rabbi Eliezer. And tomorrow we'll continue. Tomorrow we'll continue to try to defend some of the Amoraim's positions within the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer.